You, this morning, turn to the book of Genesis, chapter number 11, and verse number 30. Genesis, chapter number 11, and verse 30. But Sarai was barren. She had no child. Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return to thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son.' Then Sarah denied, saying, 'I laughed not, for she was afraid.' And he said, 'Nay, but thou didst laugh.'" Father, bless this holy word now. In thy name I pray. Amen. If you notice in the text of the scripture that I just read to you, it's a little thing, you got to watch things when they happen. But if you'll notice in verse number 30, it says, "But Sarai." All right, you see that? Sarai. But then throughout the rest of that I read to you, it is Sarah. Sarah. And it's the fifth letter from the Hebrew alphabet is added to her name because she becomes the mother now. God is emphasizing the fact now, Sarai, you are going to become the mother like he's the father of many nations. You have a special calling and a special place. And this is why the Lord reminded her of who she was and who he is. Now, we're talking this morning about birth, and here we have a mother. And I want to call your attention to this simple thing this morning, and I'm sure you should be aware of this, that our nation is descending into chaos, and it's descending quickly. And I want to tell you right now, the foundation of this country is not in Washington, D.C. The foundation of the nation is not in any man-made structure. It is in the home. It is in what God ordained when he brought Eve to the man, and there the family was created in the hand of God. God knows what he's doing. And Satan, in order to destroy this nation, and he's going to destroy it if he turns it into Marxism and communism, it's destroyed, it's finished. And if Satan is able to do that, he'll do it because the home is destroyed. He will split it down the middle. He will turn husbands against wives, wives against husbands, children against their family, and he's in the process right now of doing that. So I'm going to preach a message this morning about what matters the most, where's your heart located, what's God going to do, has he made the home? Do you have a house with people in it, or do you have a home? And there's a vast difference. So the Bible says in the book of Genesis, chapter number 11, that when God told them what he was going to do, she laughed within her heart. And the reason she laughed is because she thought, well, how am I going to do this? If God's going to bring forth a child, what's my part? I can't do anything. This is beyond human ability. Well, my dear friend, that's where God operates. He operates beyond human ability. Not only that, he operates beyond human understanding. His mind is above our mind. His way is not our way. And the Bible says plainly that is anything too hard for the Lord? He asked that question, which demands and begs an answer. Is anything too hard for the Lord? My answer is no. No. I may not know how it's going to be done. I may not know when it's going to be done. I may not know the particulars of it. And you know something? There's an awful lot of stuff that God's doing in the world, and he doesn't consult me one bit about any of it. Amen. How you all doing on that? Same thing. Amen. If he did, I couldn't handle it anyway. You think I can handle what's going on with 7,000 million people? Can't handle that. There's an awful lot of people on this earth. And Almighty God is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He knows the human heart and the human soul of every person breathing at this moment on this earth. He's God, and beside him there is none other. He's going to bring a nation forth. He's going to bring a nation forth, and he's going to bring faithful people forth. He's going to bring them forth from a man that was as dead as he could be physically in order to do this. But this is where God Almighty shows his glory and his power. And this is what needs to be done in this country. We need to return to what matters. We need to understand what matters. We need to know what's valuable. That's like the Bible talks about the pearl and the snout of a swine. or that which is holy given to the dogs. We have people today that put no value whatsoever in husbands and wives and children in the home. Well, my dear friend, God does. He puts it, he does. The Bible said here that she laughed, and the Lord confronted her on her unbelief, I guess, just say that. He confronted her, and he said, you laughed. And she said, oh, no, I didn't laugh. I mean, I didn't laugh out loud. How would you know? He knew because he read her heart. That's how he knows. And he reads your heart. Let me help you today. Please, let me help you. You're not going to flim-flam God. Amen. Don't put on some kind of religious show for him. He deals with you in the depths of your soul and in your heart and in who you are and in what makes you who you are. And that, my dear friend, is where I want him to talk to me, in my heart, in who and where I am. The Bible said here they had a child and they called him Isaac. In Hebrew, it's Yitzhak. And it means laughter. And every time she looked at that boy and she called him Isaac, she was reminded that she laughed at the promise of God. But God took her laughter of mocking and turned it to victory in faith. And my friend, she lived by that. Make no mistake about it, when she laughed, her laughing turned into joy. Because somewhere along the line, it says this in Hebrews 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child. This is a person. This is somebody like all the rest of us. Every one of us in this house has been confronted by God at some time. And we failed the test. Our faith did not hold up. We didn't stand the way we should have stood. And we failed. And we think, and Satan will come against us and try to destroy us with that. No doubt he worked Sarah over good. But the Bible says by faith. That faith does not come from experience. That faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Somewhere Sarah got down alone with God and she said, Lord, if you said it, it's going to happen. I may not understand how, I may not understand when, I may not be able to figure this out. But if you said it, enough of this unbelief, I will take hold of the promise of God and there will be a child born. That's what we've got to do. Take hold of God's promises and he will bring forth in due time. In the book of Genesis chapter number 29 and verse number 32, Leah conceived and she bare a son. And she called his name Reuben, for she said, surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction, and now therefore my husband will love me. Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah were the firstborn of Jacob, the first four children, and they were born of Leah. But he never loved Leah. Jacob followed his eyes. He loved the flesh. He loved a beautiful Rachel. But Leah was left out, and Leah, not by her own choice, wound up being his wife. And he didn't love her. That had to be a hard thing for this woman. And she cried out to God over this and said, Lord, will you do something in the heart of my husband so he'll love me? I believe one of the greatest things that a mother wants, a wife wants, is the love of her husband. I believe the love of a husband will get a wife through an awful lot of problems and strength for her when nothing else will. If she knows without a shadow of a doubt that her husband loves her, she'll be able to handle a lot of stuff that she couldn't handle any other way. Life's full of problems. Life can get hard. Your children can rebel. You can have things happen to you never expected to happen. But love can pull a family together like nothing else can. It can bring a husband and wife together. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. There is no culture on this earth that makes a home like a Christian home when a husband loves his wife. And let me tell you something about women. God gave them a special intuition that they sense love. They know love. They feel love if it's coming forth from somebody. You don't flim-flam them that easily. Men, on the other hand, they're not the same. But the man is the one who gives the love to his wife. And now we laid another rock in the foundation of the home. Because the foundation of the home is going to make all the difference in your life and the life of this nation. I don't want to see America go down, but it's going down. I want to see God's hand move in this country, and he can move in this country. But I'm going to tell you where it's going to take place. It's not going to be by the Republicans or the Democrats. I go with a Republican as long as he stays in the truth, fine. But my dear friend, I do not look to him to save this country. It's going to come from God. And if it doesn't come from God, it's not going to happen. And we need to get serious with God about it. I don't want to see it go down. I've got grandchildren. I've got a little granddaughter, 13 years old, here in just a few days. What kind of country is she going to grow up in? I've been here now almost 75 years. My time here is about over with. And the country that I was born into in 1946 is nothing like the country that we live in today. I want to get back to where it was so bad. I want them to have what we had. I want them to have that. Do you want them to have that? You may not be able to change this whole country, but you can sure change your home. And you can change your church. And you can have the friends that you need for them as they grow up and nurtured in the admonition of the Lord. And so Leah trusted. She believed. She cried out to God. A praying woman and a praying mother is a powerful thing. And she cried to the Lord. You say, well, preacher, he loved Rachel. Yes, but Rachel was buried on the way to Bethlehem. There's a place over there called Machpelah. It's in Hebron. Most people, Americans, never heard about it. But Machpelah is the tomb of the patriarchs. Abraham is buried there. And guess who is buried there with Jacob? Leah. She might not have been, during the lifetime, what she wanted him to be to her. But she's the one that's buried with him in Machpelah. Leah, not Rachel. I want you to go to the book of Exodus, chapter number 2, verse number 3. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein. And she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. She put her little baby in a rock. This ark, by the way, is made just like Noah's ark. It's pitched within and without. This is bitumen. This is to make it water, where it can float, but the water will not come in. It'll float upon the water. Seaworthy, I guess would be a good term for it. And this little boy, Moses, the deliverer of all Israel, the man that God talked to face to face, the one that went to the top of Sinai with him, that carried those tables of stone down, the writer of the first five books of the Bible, the Pentateuch. Here is Moses, yet he starts out in an ark. Bulrushes that his mother puts him in. Why does he put it? Because she loves her baby. And she knows that Satan, who is the Pharaoh of Egypt, the government, is going to put her child to death if he can. And he couldn't lay his hand on Moses because God's hand was on Moses. Just yesterday or the day before, on the streets of New York City, a woman and her boy, a little child, were walking on the streets of New York. And the little child was about maybe 10 or 15 feet up in front of them. We're talking this little boy. And this guy, these two men pulled up in a car. He jumped out of that car and ran around and grabbed that child. And he ran back around and stuck that child in that car. And he was going to take off with their baby. Imagine how they felt. Imagine those mothers screaming. What'd they do? That mother went after him like you wouldn't believe. She got into the back because the back is where he put that baby. She reached in there and got a hold of her son or daughter, I don't know which one it was, and she started pulling, and she wasn't going to let loose. And she kept pulling, and she kept pulling. And so finally, she got that child out of that car, and they drove off. That's a mother. She risked her life for her baby. It didn't matter to her who he was. She wanted her child back. Are you that kind of mother today? Do you care that much for your children? Do you know who your children's friends are? Do you know what your children are being taught in school? Do you know all about your child? Who's your child talking to on Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and all the rest of that? In the social media, who is your child communicating with? That's very, very important. Jochebed, I'll never forget her, and you won't either, because she trusts her little boy in the hands of the Lord. In 1 Samuel chapter number 1 and verse 9, the Bible said, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk, and Eli the priest sat upon a seat by the post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed to the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And she meant it. She meant it. This is not one of those prayers, Lord, bless me, Lord, help me, Lord, do this for me. Oh, God, I need you. And the moment God Almighty removes the pressure and gives you what you've been praying for and takes this problem out and this one out, first thing you know, you're right back where you started from. You're just like Pharaoh. I'm afraid an awful lot of people are like Pharaoh. One more night with the flies and the frogs. But Pharaoh said, I've sinned. Take this off of me. I can't handle any more of this. And the Bible said God removed it because Moses cried out to him. And Pharaoh went right back to what he was before. Has that been your relationship with the Lord, dear friend?
Right.
Has it been that God has blessed you, given to you, answered your prayers? And you know he has. He's a good God. And yet a minute that it was over, the minute you got what you wanted, then you turned your back on him and walked away. Hannah's not like that. Hannah says, Lord, you give me a boy and I'm going to give him right back to you. How many of you mothers in here prayed for a son? How many of you prayed for a daughter? How many of you prayed for a child? How many of you got down in the altar somewhere and made yourself an altar inside of a closet and got a hold of God and said, Lord, I want a son. I want a daughter. And you give me a son and you give me a daughter and I will immediately dedicate them unto you. They belong to you, Lord, and not me. And I know you're going to loan that child to me. And I want to be the best mother I can possibly be. Lord, please hear my prayer. I believe many a woman has done that. I believe many a mother has cried out to God for a child. Because you see, my dear friend, men don't understand motherhood, but women do. And that's a blessing on this earth that is unlike anything else. A mother is a precious thing indeed. Because a mother is the one that teaches her child very, very, very important things. Listen to what Paul said to Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, verse number 4. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. Timothy was blessed to be raised in a home of faith, a home in the Jewish faith and then the faith of Christ, which true Judaism, let me remind you, if it is the Bible and the Bible only that you're dealing with a Jew over, and you don't have to worry with the Talmud, if it's the Scripture, you can lead them right to Christ because the Scripture leads to Christ. Search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they that testify of me, the Lord Jesus said. You can show him in Isaiah chapter number 53, the Lamb of God. You can show him in Psalm 22, the Lamb of God. You can show him in Isaiah chapter number 9 and verse 6, the Lamb of God. You can show him all through that Old Testament, the Lamb of God. And then there's the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John the Baptist had no problem believing it. He accepted it that this is greater than me. This is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Timothy grew up in that environment. He was nourished on every hand. He had a mother and a grandmother that loved the Lord. His father was a Greek, pagan. He couldn't get the truth from him. So the mother and the grandmother stepped in and they raised him right. They filled him full of the knowledge of God. They prayed for him. How many times? No doubt did Timothy hear his grandmother and his mother pray for his soul. Let me ask you a question, dear friend. Have you ever heard your mother pray for your soul? Have you ever heard her cry out to God? Have you ever really heard her calling to the Lord for your soul? I don't know of anything more precious on this earth than to hear something like that. Do you? Listen to what Theodore Roosevelt said. You know who I'm talking about, don't you, President Roosevelt? He said, when all is said, it is the mother and the mother only who is better citizen than the soldier who fights for this country. The successful mother, the mother who does her part in rearing and training aright the boys and girls who are to be the men and women of the next generation, is of greater use to the community and occupies, if she only would realize it, a more honorable as well as more important position than any man in it. The mother is the one supreme asset of the national life. She is more important by far than the successful statesman or businessman or artist or scientist. That is not to disparage the crucial role godly fathers play. Of course not. But it is to encourage you in the crucial role that a godly mother plays. Have you ever heard your mother pray? Mother, have you ever prayed before your children? Have you called their names out before the Lord? Have you cried to God for them? Look at this. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, they say, was one of the greatest preachers of England. He was back in the day. He was a contemporary of the Civil War. And Spurgeon preached at the Metropolitan Tabernacle to tens of thousands. His volumes are all over the place, the Metropolitan pulpit, volume after volume. Listen to what it says about Spurgeon's. Spurgeon's father was often away from home preaching. His father was a preacher. Once as he was on his way to a service, he feared that he was neglecting his own family while caring for the souls of others. So he turned back and went home. When he came to the house, everything was quiet except for the voice of his wife behind the bedroom door. He listened and heard her pleading earnestly in prayer for the salvation of all of her children. Now listen to this. And especially for her strong-willed firstborn, Charles. Yeah, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. I don't know if this generation much has ever heard of him. Google him and look him up. You should know about Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He's an Englishman. You ought to know about him. He heard his wife praying for his children, crying out to God for his children. The other day, I got down next to my little 13-year-old granddaughter. Bible school had begun to move in her heart. Bible school. You wonder if there's any fruit from it? Yes, there is. And that's what I've always looked for. We don't force kids into salvation. We give them the Word of God. It'll do the job. And she came to me. And oh, how I rejoiced when she came to me. And I talked with her for a while. Then we got down on the sofa, opened the Bible, and I prayed with her. And a tear fell on that sofa. A tear. Folks, I will never forget that tear. Never. That tear's worth more to me than all the cars parked out there, all the houses, all the guns, the cameras, the lands, the boats, and whatever. That tear I'll never forget of my precious little granddaughter bowing her head and crying out to God. She wanted to make sure she was right with the Lord. And that did something to me. I've never been the same since. That awakened something inside my soul. She comes out and she sits down at the end of the table. I know you're going to think, well, that's your granddaughter. But she sits down at the end of the table and she starts asking me questions. She starts asking me questions that adults have never asked me. She did. She did. She did. And I, by the grace of God, tried to answer her and rejoiced in it. Would you pray for my little granddaughter?
Amen.
How many of you got granddaughters? Grandsons? You want us to pray for them?
Amen.
How many of you got children in this house this morning?
Amen.
You want us to pray for your children?
Amen.
How many of you got daughters? Raise your hand.
Amen.
All right. How many of you got sons? Raise your hand. Do you want us to pray for your children? Do you pray for your children? Do you call them? Do you call their name out before the Lord?
Yes,
does God know whether you care anything about your kids or not?
Yes,
he knows, doesn't he? Would you call upon God? Would you say, Lord, I love my babies. I love them. Oh, I know. I buy clothes for them, and they got a phone, and they do this and they do that. But that's not love, friends. Do they know? Do they know that I love them? What about my children? That's the most important thing you got in this house today. Is your children. Let me give you the order of the way it stands. God first.
Amen.
God first. God first. All right. Then your family. Then your family. Your children. Your husband. Your wives. And you get your husband and your wives right, you'll have a church. You'll have a church. You don't get the husbands and wives right, you'll just have a bingo parlor. When we come in this house like we're in here today, it's because we love each other. Well, there's Christian love and fellowship one with another, and we love our babies. Just like that woman who risked her own life, but she got her baby out of the back of that car. I wouldn't want to have been there. If she'd had a gun in her hand, she'd used it. She wanted her baby. You're not going to steal my son. You ought to look it up. It's on the news. It's only been a couple of days ago. Look it up. There's a video of the thing. And they got the perpetrators on the video, and I don't know if they've arrested them or not. But I thought to myself, that's a mother's love. That's a mother's love. That's a wonderful thing. Satan's trying to destroy us, folks.
Amen.
The only way we're going to make it and go on is to build the family. And the only way you're going to build a family is with Christ. Amen. That's the only way. Because they want to destroy us. Is anything too hard for the Lord?
No, sir.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Grandmother here, your little baby, your little grandbaby, Olivia, she's been healed. Isn't that something? How many of you are parents, but you don't have grandchildren? Raise your hand. All right. That's good. But no problem. Once you become a grandmother and a grandfather, how many of them we got in here? Can you tell any difference in the love you had for your children than the love you've got for your grandchildren? Maybe, truth be known, love them more. I've heard that more than once. One guy said, if I'd only known I love my grandchildren this much, I'd have had them first. You know. Let's do something about it. Won't you dedicate yourself back to what matters? Won't you get your Bible and start reading it again? I'll worry about the world that my little granddaughter's coming up in. I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. I'm not passive. I'm not passive. The Lord told him in Luke, he said, you go buy a sword. I'm not passive. You need to study that Bible and compare Scripture with Scripture. I'd fight for what matters. Fight for what matters. You better believe it. Fight for, and I'm not telling you to go to war. What we need to do is go to war in prayer. That's what we need to do right now. Mother, is your children slipping away? Come on. Come down here and pray for them. That's what's going to make a difference. God takes that prayer and he opens the gates of heaven with it, and he opens the hearts of the children. There are men locked up in Brushy Mountain. Well, they're not there anymore. Down Morgan County and other places. They're behind bars. But I'm going to tell you something right now. They'd knock your head off if you say something about their mother. Do you know that? They love their mother. They love their mother. And the truth of the matter is that most of them will tell you, if I'd only done what my mother wanted me to do. If I'd only done it. But you know, there's a good thing about that. Prayer reaches in behind the bars. It reaches in behind the bars. And there they can be born of the Spirit of God. I'm going to get on my face and I'm going to say, God, make me the best granddaddy I could possibly be. I don't want to live wrong in front of my grandchildren. I want to live right in front of them. Lord, I'm going to give my life to you again today. I consecrate my life again in the name of Jesus. I don't have the power physically to do anything but fail. But in thy holy name, we cannot fail. We cannot fail. Would you come to pray with me? Let's pray.
Father, precious gift, Lord, they're precious to me. Father, they're precious to my soul. Heavenly Father, God, give me enough sense, enough wisdom. Lord, teach me what I need to know, Father, to be a grandfather and to lead my family right, to do the right thing. Heavenly Father, to be discerning of the spirits and what they're doing and what they're trying to do. God, we pray. I put them in your hands, Lord. Father, I pray for those in this house today that are crying upon your name. They're asking for children. They're asking for sons and daughters. Heavenly Father, you're the one that can answer that. When it looks impossible, you can answer that prayer. You can do above and beyond all that we could ask or think. In the name of Jesus, bless his righteous holy name. Bless the Son of God. Lord, we pray. Now bless him. Bless him. Heavenly Father, let this time in the house of God this morning register in their soul and stick with them, Lord, as they walk out of here. In thy holy name I pray.
I read an email this morning online. And this woman sent in and she said, my son just died. She said he just passed away. Said he was 17 years old. She says, I'm hurting. She says, I'm hurting. She says, I don't know if he was saved or not. Don't know. Don't know. Don't know. She says, I'm hurting. He tried to give her comfort. But I'll tell you one thing. Now, this is not an email sent to me. This is an email online. This is somebody else. I don't know her. Nobody in here knows her. So let's make that clear right up front. But she says, I'm hurting. Because of her children. 17 years old. Aren't you glad God's a good God? Yes, He is. He's a good God. Yes, He is. Abraham, shall not the judge of the whole earth do right? Oh, yeah. He'll do right. Amen. Father, bless your word. Time we've had together. Lord, write it in hearts, the people. Bless them and help them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand up this morning. Let these folks pray now here down here. They're praying. You want to come and pray? You come right on. We didn't hand you a menu when you came in. That means you can get down and pray anytime you want to. We love to see people pray. Go anywhere you want to. Get down on the floor somewhere. Go out, walk outside and start praying. Doesn't matter to me. Just get a hold of God. Talk to the Lord. Amen. What have we